Thank you so much. And I do apologise for not having my Bible story here. And the reason why I didn't just open the Bible and read it from there is that I want us to make this Bible reading an interactive Bible reading. So I'm going to split you into two halves again. And this half of the room, when I give you your clue, which will be to stand here, you are going to say, "I'm really sorry." Should we practice that? "I'm really sorry." But you're not going to look at me, you're going to look at this half of the room. And when I stand this side of this little music stand, you're going to say, "That's okay, I forgive you." Should we practice that? "That's okay, I forgive you." And you're not going to look at me, you're going to look at this half of the room. All right? So you guys are going to say, "I'm really sorry." And you guys are going to say, "That's okay, I forgive you." So this story is from Matthew's Gospel. Peter asked Jesus a question. "If somebody hurts me," he said, and then says, "I'm really sorry," how many times should I forgive them and say, "That's okay, I forgive you"? Before Jesus could answer, however, Peter offered an answer of his own. He thought it would sound good. He thought it would sound big-hearted. He thought it would be the kind of thing that Jesus would want to hear. "Should I forgive them 7 times, said Peter. It seemed like a lot of times to Peter, but Jesus was not impressed. "No, not at all." "No," Jesus answered, "not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Peter did some quick maths, and somewhere along the way to 490, he ran out of fingers. That was a lot of times. Far more times than Peter had ever forgiven anybody. So Jesus told him a story. "Once upon a time, there was a king," said Jesus, "and one of his servants owed him money. Not a little money, not some money, not even lots of money, but loads and loads of money, millions and millions and millions more. The servant was brought before the king, and because the servant couldn't pay what he was owed, the king commanded that his wife and even his children be sold as slaves. The servant fell to his knees. 'I'm really sorry,' he cried. 'Be patient with me, please. Just give me another chance. I promise I'll pay back everything I owe.' The king looked at his servant, and he felt sorry for him. And then, much to the servant's surprise, the king smiled and said, 'That's okay, I forgive you.' Then he cancelled the debt and set him free. The servant left the palace celebrating, and that's when he ran into another servant, a servant that owed him money. Not loads of money, not a lot of money either. Just a little money, actually. Just some spare change. That's all. Did the first servant remember what the king had done for him? Not for a minute. He grabbed the second servant by the throat and demanded to be paid. So the second servant fell to his knees. 'I'm really sorry,' he cried. 'Be patient with me, please. Give me another chance and pay back everything I owe you.' But instead of saying, 'That's okay, I forgive you,' the first servant had the second servant thrown into jail. When the other servants heard about this, they told the king, and he was so angry that he had the first servant dragged before him again. 'When you came to me and said, I'm really sorry, I cancelled your debt, and I said, that's okay, I forgive you. Why couldn't you do the same for for someone else. And with that, the king had the servant thrown into jail until he could repay the debt. Peter, said Jesus, God is like that king. We say to him, I'm really sorry, more times than we can count. And even more times than that, he says, that's okay, I forgive you. And all he really wants is for us to tell that to each other too. I'm really sorry, said Peter. I didn't understand. And Jesus just smiled and said, that's okay, I forgive you. Brilliant. Thank you so much for helping me to tell that story. It's such an important story because, as we have already said, we're focusing on the lines from that reading, love keeps no record of wrong. Now, when I was a little girl, which was an extremely long time ago, I used to share my bedroom with my sister. And we had an enormous cupboard where all of our stuff was kept. Do you have a cupboard where all your toys and things are kept? You've got two cupboards. Well, unfortunately, we only had one. She was only 2 years younger than me, but she was at least 200 times untidier than me. I would try and keep things tidy, and she wouldn't. I would get rid of old toys, and she wouldn't. I would get rid of things, and then she'd put them back in the wardrobe, and I'd get into trouble for the wardrobe being untidy. Sharing a bedroom with my sister really wasn't very easy, and sometimes I would get really cross. Because I'd remember all the times that I'd helped her and all the times that she never helped me. I wonder whether you ever feel that about a brother or a sister or a mum or a friend at school or a neighbour, somebody else that lives in your home. You know, people do things, you do. And sometimes maybe she does something that makes you cross. People do that. They do things that make us cross. People do things that hurt us, and people do things that make us sad. People do things that aren't fair. People do things that aren't kind. And people do things that aren't very nice. And Jesus said, all we need to say to them is, that's okay, I forgive you. I'm sorry I broke your toy. That's okay, I forgive you. I'm sorry, Mum, I shouted at you when it was my fault. That's okay, I forgive you. I'm sorry that I forgot the time when I got home late. That's okay, I forgive you. Only, if you're like me, sometimes you get hurt and you get upset. And sometimes it's not okay. And sometimes we can't go straight to, I forgive you. If a friend is unkind, it's not okay. We can't immediately say, I forgive you. If we don't get chosen for the football team and we're upset, it's not okay. Sometimes we can't say, I forgive you. If somebody laughs at us, or somebody doesn't take us very seriously, or they don't listen to us, inside we're saying, that's not okay. I can't forgive you. When somebody hurts us, instead of saying, that's okay, I forgive you, we want them to pay. We think, you owe me. You need to pay before I can say, it's okay, I forgive you. Instead of saying it's okay, we look for ways of getting them back. We don't say, it's okay. Sometimes we hope something horrible will happen to them. Or maybe we try and get them into trouble before we say, that's okay, I forgive you. Thinking like that, thinking about getting your own back, thinking about making them pay, that's called revenge. And it's the exact opposite of forgiving. And Jesus says, revenge is not my way. In fact, Jesus says, my way is always finding a way of choosing to say, that's okay, I forgive you. So God says we need to forgive people if we're going to love like God. So what stops us from forgiving? Have I got that? Brilliant. The red light. What is the red light? What stops us from forgiving? Well, sometimes it's going over and over and over again what happened. If only you were in my room, my thing wouldn't have got... If you only weren't in my room, my thing wouldn't have got broken. If only you'd asked what you were supposed to do when I asked, we wouldn't be in this situation now. You know, that kind of thing. We keep a list of all the wrong things that have happened. And that is a red light to forgiveness. Sometimes what stops us from forgiving is waiting for somebody to say sorry before we'll forgive them. When we've been hurt, we want people to be sorry for what they've done. But you know, some people just find it really hard to say sorry. Some people think you'll understand just automatically that you didn't mean to hurt them or you didn't mean to upset them. And they don't realise that they hurt you big time. And so they don't see the need to say sorry. They just don't get it. Jesus understood this when he was on the cross. No one said sorry to him there. They didn't fully understand what was going on. They didn't really get it. And yet, Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they don't understand what they've done. So sometimes that red light is waiting for somebody to say sorry or going over and over and over in my mind again, remembering how someone else has got it wrong. So let's move to an amber light. What gets us ready to start to forgive? Well, first of all, deciding that instead of keeping hold of that long list, we're going to find a way of tearing it up. We decide instead of reliving the past and everything that happened, we're going to think about the future and what the future might look like if we didn't keep hold of that list of wrongs. We're getting real about what has happened and choosing to move on from what that person did to us. Getting real involves being real about how we feel. It's not okay. I'm too angry to forgive. I feel betrayed or I feel let down. And then deciding how we're going to deal with all of those feelings that we've got inside. So maybe we'll talk to the person who treated us badly. Maybe not. But what we will do is we'll talk to God about it and he'll help us with those feelings. And then also we can start to get ready to forgive by remembering how much God has forgiven us. This is what Jesus wanted Peter to remember in that story. God is like the king that forgave that great big debt. What God forgives us for is always bigger than the things he asks us to forgive. God doesn't expect us to pay for the things we do to hurt him. And so we can choose that person who's hurt us doesn't have to pay either. So then we move on to our green light and we say, yes, we're going to forgive. How do we do it? Well, the first thing we might have to do is tear up that list. Maybe we'll tear it all up in one big go. Or maybe we'll tear up one piece of hurt, one thing at a time. But we tear it up nevertheless, because we're choosing to forgive, even if that person doesn't change, even if they get it wrong again and again and again. Choosing to forgive, even if they don't realise how much they hurt us in the first place. And we've got to keep on doing it, because forgiveness isn't a one-off thing, it's an again and an again and an again thing that we need to do. And then, of course, the other thing that helps us to forgive is to ask God to help us do it. Sometimes we can't do it by ourselves. Sometimes we need to ask God to help us forgive. It can be so hard. And then when we've forgiven, maybe just a little bit, we can thank God for helping us do that really difficult thing. And that makes us stronger inside, ready to forgive maybe the next small thing. Ready for the next time somebody hurts us, or the next time life doesn't seem very fair. The great thing about forgiving somebody is that it sets us free to decide whether a fresh start with that person is possible. It isn't always, but sometimes it is. Sometimes we can wipe the slate clean. It means that we can give the relationship a go again if we need to. I'm very glad that I regularly choose to forgive Paul for all those terrible things that he does all of the time, and he's not here to defend himself. But I'm glad that I'm free to do that, because it means each day our relationship starts in a good and clean place. But even if a relationship doesn't carry on, even if a friendship or a relationship is finished, forgiving means that when we think about that person, we can say, "It's okay, I have forgiven you." And you know, we don't usually lose a friendship when we forgive. Often it makes the friendship or the relationship stronger, because we've learned to forgive like God.